classes in session, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. Yeah, man, Johnny throwing stuff up in the chat already. You know, yeah, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, me, Dr. Tim Slicker, and of course, the chairman of the boards, Jacob, joining us for, you know, what do you want to say?
It's big like dog at the desk.
Big dog at the desk.
Chairman of the boards.
Jacob. We will have him again. In fact, though, you put it out there. I mean, Terry Barr, Civic Media's own great post out there about actually one of Jacob's choice chairman of the board episodes, favorite TV teachers. Yeah, check it out on the Civic Media website there.
You can, I can't help it, Tim. We just go viral every time we do the producer's choice. I don't know what it is.
You know, I just saying, love that write-up. You know, check it out. And if you, you know, missed that
and
episode.
The first day of school stuff, too.
Yeah.
I think she's a fan. Terry B, we're a fan of you, too.
Either that or, you know, Jacob's got a little extra cash he's doling out or something.
Yeah, I just I only advocate for my stuff. That's why I'm a bad producer, really. If you look at it, I'm largely incompetent. But if I'm in it, I'll slip Terry a 20.
No, we know actually producer's choice. Great, great, great new addition to the Busted Pencils lineup. So, man, yeah, check it out. Make sure you go and download those episodes. And while you're at it, download every other episode we've ever done because it's always good stuff. Johnny, this is like a preview classes in session for a great show that's going to air Saturday. So, yes, we are going to tell you. We're going to reveal right now that Saturday's show, when you're listening, isn't live. We had a great guest, Randy Weingarten, president of AFT, you know, talking about her new book. But we're going to kind of preview that, though, with our own little kind of classes in session. And I'm sorry, but I got a Tim bomb already lined up, and I'm about ready to pull the pin and let it go. But it's interesting because today, you know, new NAEP results were released and 12th graders can't read. And
that's the sarcasm.
That question is so seldom asked, Tim. Seldom is the question asked. Is our children learning?
Well, according to NAEP, it continues to be bad. High school seniors in 2024, a third of them are reading below basic. And some of the indicators, at least according to post that I saw, which was actually the New York Times, lots of issues, learning loss, COVID, and things like that. However, Johnny, I want to potentially, I don't know, legitimize or give some credence to one of the other issues that could be plaguing reading skills, and that is social media and short kind of reading blasts where short, I'm telling you, you know, the fact that kids aren't reading long passages, they're not reading books, they're not getting deep into what it means to be a reader. And is that being reflected in those results? And I was just thinking about that, you know, reading books, I'll admit, maybe here in the swell of what's been happening over the last, you know, 4 to 5 years, my book reading has taken a back seat to, you know, jumping on to social media, reading a post, following a LinkedIn article that connects me to this. I'm not saying I'm spending my time, you know, just doom scrolling and putting thumbs up and little bitty sentences and stuff like that to, you know, my high school buddies revealing that, you know, back in 1985, what really happened Like, I don't really care about that stuff. I'm not looking at that stuff, but I'm reading short. And if it wasn't for Busted Pencils, and like you said, you know, great guests like Jonathan Gierko and now Randy Weingarten and their books, I haven't been reading a lot of books. And is there something to the potential that, well, a lot of short form reading has taken over kind of our ethos of what it means to read? That's how I'm kind of introducing the topic of why teachers feel fear fascists.
Well, Tim, that's a pretty exciting circumnavigation around a few different topics to get there. But, you know, I'm not sure the NAEP scores have a whole lot to do why teachers are feared by fascists, although it's definitely one of the tools of, you know, the larger discourse, which contributes to sort of the demoralizing of the teaching profession and of teaching labor. But, you know, you're right. There's a couple of different things happening. So class and session is rolling, and the new NAEP scores, right? We want to remind folks what the NAEP is, the National Assessment of Educational Progress. So NAEP. And it's like a yearly test that measures mostly math and reading. And, you know, interestingly enough, I usually bash on this test, not because it's not a good test, but just because we tend to take it out of context. We're like, whoa, the point that this group of young people are doomed. They're awful and they're not going to be as good as past generations because they scored lower. And we've had so many shows explaining about how that's sort of rigged. Like, you can't only climb for so long. It's like you can only be such a level of, you know, proficient reader. And the number of proficient readers doesn't necessarily, you know, predict, you know, the progress and the success of a generation. If we believe that, then people writing these articles shouldn't be successful because they scored lower than these generations. But interestingly enough, Tim, for the listener, this is a unique moment. And I think, Tim, there's some, I'm a little less like, it's because of the social media and it's all these things than you are. But I think you're onto something here. And I don't want it to, obviously, you don't do this, but, you know, the media will absolutely do this in certain contexts. Take it into a rationale for being dismissive of this crop of young people. You know, they're incredibly bright in a lot of ways that if you compared them to, I'm going to intentionally compare them to students in, say, you know, 1992. Let's look at that number for, you know, a very poignant reason, because actually this group is 10 points lower, just 10 points, but that's enough to look at, 10 points lower than 12th graders in 1992. Right? And so that's a little bit closer to that, like, what's different about what they're doing in the world? Let's get an understanding. But they're going to be great at things that people in 1992 that were 12th graders weren't doing. So it's just very different worlds.
Thank you.
But I picked 1992 to compare it with, Tim. You see, you threw me a Tim bomb.
Yeah.
I was reading about this this morning because there's hint to our listeners. Tim texted also the new NAEP scores. And I was like, oh, Tim's going to want to do a show on this. I didn't know it would be today.
Well,
but I was reading up on it. And really, 1992, we compare with the 12th graders. So graduating class of 1992, that was a minute ago. That's in the old century. Mm-hmm. That's the first time we have a pretty sizable gap in the differences. So I'm not too worried about these current 12th graders because they're not that far off than the class of 1992, 10 points. But, you know, that's where it starts to get significant. And I know a lot of people who graduated around that time who are writing these articles and doing this kind of work, and they're just fine. So again, remember, in context. But Tim, I think you're onto something, that young people are getting information differently than we did in the 90s, than we did in the 80s, or even in the early aughts, right? We did read more. Not necessarily saying that's better or worse, but we definitely had print text more readily available to us. And nowadays, there's a lot of different ways you can get information that don't necessarily require you to be a voracious reader, right? And so so that kind of reminds me, when we get these headlines, and I'm going to tie it to this great book interview we did this week with our returning guest AFT President Randy Weingarten. Listeners, you're going to love that show on Saturday. But why fascist fear teachers? You know, Randy's really defining, you know, we got to pre-read this, Tim and I.
Yeah, we did.
We're probably scoring better than those 12th graders did. But we got to pre-read this book. Randy in this book defines teacher labor in such an authentic way. Not surprised, because she's a teacher and she's right. also a teacher union president. So she hears a lot about teaching. She, you know, she's pretty close to the profession, so she can capture it in stories and really shine light on the different dimensions and as a communication tool to what it's like to be a teacher for people who aren't teachers. It's a great read because you kind of better understand what teachers do. If you are a teacher, it's a great read because you're like, yeah, that's what I do. In fact, Tim, reading that book, right? And I got to tell this to Randy too, but reading that book, Tim, it gave me like a renewed description for when people ask, what is it you do again? And I'm like, well, I'm a teacher who teaches teachers, but I'm an educator. And I can explain to them what it means to educate. I won't spoil that because Randy shares that in the show. She also elaborates on it in the book. But one of those reasons, Tim, it comes back to even the NAEP score, is that, you know, I hate to sound like, it's the liberal media, you know, like Trumpers out there. You know, I got love for you. I might not agree with you, but we got space to hear from you. You always blame the liberal media, or some of my liberal friends are always blaming particular media outlets. I won't name the one conglomerate they like to drop. It's a three-letter word that rhymes with rocks. But they like to sort of blame that depiction. But honestly, by and large, teachers can relate to this. We don't get described very well often in the news, mm-mm. in the headlines, in the newspapers, in conversations. You know, everybody loves their teachers when you ask them about their favorite teacher, or they ask them about what teachers contributed to them. But on a day-to-day basis, the way we talk about education, the way we support it in this country, the way we devalue what teachers do collectively, it takes its toll. And Tim, you've done this, you've done a lot of work on this, teacher demoralization, teacher exodus, you know, how our morale is really impacted by this stuff. And one of the things that Randy's book does is talks about how it's actually an intentional political effort to make sure that, I'm going to summarize, make sure teachers feel bad and to make sure that people kind of talk ill of the profession.
Right.
So it's connected because I think we do this too with young people. These articles about NAEP scores are intentional to be like, well, those young people just aren't going to be as smart and they're doomed. And what are they going to contribute? And it's like, hey, hold up. To be young, I mean, these are going to be the people who run this country in just a few years. Like, you blink and they are the ones who we're working with, we're leaning on, we're depending on them. And so, you know, I hate to see them devalued. The same way I hate to see teachers devalued, I hate when students are devalued, and the two are connected. So you can learn more about it from the book. But Tim, tell us about this a bit, because this is aligned to your area of expertise.
Well, okay. First, though, when you said I like that the book reminded me, you, Johnny, of what it is you do, I thought you were going to say that you really spend a lot of time creating fear for fascists.
Well, man, I wish I did. I mean, fascists aren't afraid of me. I mean, they're afraid of teachers, the larger group. Right. But individuals, they're like, man, that guy's just a lot of hot air, probably on some podcast about breaking pencils and things.
But you get, you know, right to that point there too, when you say, okay, what has been the goal, you know, over 10 years, over 20 years, over 30 years, since A Nation at Risk in 1983, to create this narrative that first and foremost, teachers are failing. You know, we typically do that through, you know, pointing out how dismal kids are doing, but it always comes back into going, well, and you know why they're doing so badly? It's because those bad teachers. Reference to, you know, one of our other favorite guests, Kevin Kumashiro, great book, Bad Teacher. Check it out. Another book I read, Johnny, in the past 10 years. So believe that. That's three books now.
Come on, man. You read books all the time. You just pretend you're not reading books. Yeah.
But yeah, and so all of that, though, you know, first of all, teachers are failing. And then if you move it up to, you know, all the way to today, the demonization of teachers, you know, indoctrinating, grooming, and all of these things, it really is set up to demoralize teachers in a sense where they really do kind of start to, you know, hide, keep their mouths shut, don't talk about what it is that they do, very, very cautiously, if ever, talk about potentially challenging a student to think critically about something, to dig deep. And you'd sit there and go, whoa, like, who would ever want to do that job? And what I really get from Randy's book, you know, first of all, the passion that it gave me to actually completely read an entire book is that it rekindles that kind of inspiration for a teacher that says, wait a minute, I'm not just about preparing test scores. In fact, the test score, you know, hype, media coverage is actually an obfuscation of the reality of what it was that I originally became a teacher to do, which is inspire, to create critical thinking, to welcome people with differences, to help students wrestle with sometimes uncomfortable situations that they're going to face either in the classroom with other peers, in, you know, coming across different content. Like, those are the things that teachers wanted to be teachers. They never wanted to be teachers to increase NAEP scores. And here we go, and you sit down and go, why the attack? Or, you know, Randy's kind of like, why do fascists, people who are very much, you know, into some form of, you know, oligarchy, if you want to put it that way, any type of, they're against critical thought, and that's what it is that they push against. And so demonizing teachers, particularly public school teachers, ends up being a hugely successful power play at demeaning their work, but taking the voice out of democracy and those critical conversations that we always get to have in public school. Because yes, we want you to learn to read, we want you to learn to write, we want you to do math, but really we want you to be a critically engaged citizen that is fully invested in driving forward a common good that is better for the next generation than we are currently in. And that means wrestling with some of the issues that we have in front of us today that may be longstanding legacies of things from the past. And that may mean confronting past stories that are embarrassing, are shameful, are painful. And that's the work of teachers. So there you go, Johnny. There's my rant, man.
Man, that's not just a rant, man. You dropped knowledge, man. You were dropping mad science on us. That was excellent, Tim. And I agree. What a great class and session, my guy. Yeah, because you hit the nail on the head, what it means to be a teacher. And that's the thing that this book, us getting to read it early, I mean, it's, you could pre-order it right now. But having a sneak peek of this book and being able to, like, you know, like you had said, it was refreshing page to page. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. We burnt through this book. It's like a sit down in a weekend and it's done. And you don't even need a ton of free time because it flows like a conversation. But it was, you know, testimony. It was renewed. It felt like a letter to teachers about teaching for the world to read to better understand what teachers do. So, man, what an exciting time, because it is, like you said, it is renewed to that social purpose we have as teachers, as part of a democracy, the social contract that public education plays, right? Freedom is really important, but so are the responsibilities we have as citizens to, you know, making sure we have freedoms. And so very, very exciting stuff. Man, what a great interview. I know I'm gushing on it because I hope that you catch it this Saturday. But Tim, man, I mean, I'm excited for our listeners to be able to hear Saturday's show when that drops. I'm excited for this class and session, and I think we'll be rocking about this stuff for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. And you know what that leaves, Johnny? Time for your moment of zen. All we have to do is little things. And at certain points in history, millions of little things come together and change takes place.
Hey, thanks, Pencil Busters, for tuning in and listening to today's class and session. And if you want more great podcasts chocked full with Busted Pencils content like this, well, you just head on over to Apple, Spotify, or you can always find us at the Civic Media website or on our website, bustedpencils.com. And don't you dare forget that you can catch great podcasts like this every Monday for Homeroom, class and session on Wednesdays, just like today, and on Fridays to wrap up the week with producer Jacob's Choice. And then Pencil Busters, you know, it's one of my favorites, and I've been plugging it all show because you're going to get to listen to Randy Weingarten, AFT president, on the Saturday broadcast. So don't you dare forget and tune into the broadcast 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busted pencils.